is Lorraine Garvey of D32 Business Network, and I am really happy this morning to be having a conversation with Kayla Bunactic, if I can get it right, from
Close
the
enough.
HR. Yeah, it's like you say that to me each time. So, and you're from the HR department. Good morning, Kayla, how are you?
Great, thank you. Thanks so much for having me. It's Vukancic,
We
in case
can't
you're
change.
wondering.
So look, I think HR is just such an important part of business. And today, just for the listeners, we're going to talk about what you need to know before you start hiring staff, and then some of the things that we might not be aware of around managing team, and then also managing performance and any issues that might come up with your team. But before that, Kayla, how did you get into HR? How did you land up here?
So I guess initially I actually lived in Kalgoorlie for quite a period of time, most of my life. So I was originally from the East Coast and I moved over to Kalgoorlie and I actually started in real estate, funny enough. So I'd just come out of high school. I really wanted to move into real estate. I worked in property management for a year in Kalgoorlie before I actually got a traineeship at a large mining company. So I actually worked my way through there, and funny enough, I started helping out within the HR team within that company. Fast forward to maybe 3 or 4 years from there, I had a traineeship and worked in the HR department through that mining company, and just absolutely loved it. And the things that I love so much about it is the complexity of the staffing issues and the people issues that are there. I love being able to, I guess it's almost like unwinding a tangled ball of twine. You're sort of pulling at different things and looking at strategy and figuring out how exactly you can solve this problem for the business and the organization. So yeah, I moved into mining, into gold mining. Probably I think that was in 2016, and was in mining for 7 years. Got a lot of experience in that space and bounced around from different HR roles, from business partner roles into projects roles. And then I found myself in disability, which was, again, I guess a huge industry shift for me, but such a rewarding and purposeful one in my career. It was just amazing being able to work with, yeah, people with disability and feeling like you are making more of a difference within that organization and that purpose. So I guess, yeah, in a sense, I started in HR. I fell into HR. It was something that my manager at the time actually asked me to start in a specific role, and that's sort of where I progressed from there. I just moved into different HR roles and just absolutely loved it. It's never a dull moment, which is probably the other aspect that I love about HR as well. And just being able to actually feel like you're making a difference within those businesses as you're working. So from there, I have a 3-year-old. I got pregnant. I had had my son, and I wanted more flexibility around the work side. And so I guess I've started in the business. We're just running into our 2 years now. So that was in March. So yeah, I've been obviously in the business now for 2 years, and that's sort of how it all came about.
Congratulations. I think I totally understand that. It's one of this we share a similar reason there. I've moved from coaching and solo coaching into building a business because I was determined I was going to have a baby and I was going to do school pickup and school drop off. And that's it. And then you decide you have to do that for yourself, right? Not for
Absolutely.
somebody else. So
And it's not as easy as we think it's going to be, I don't think, at the time either.
it seems ridiculous, right? The challenges are ridiculous, but we make it work. We make it work where our heart lies. So, Kayla, it's business owners who are listening to this podcast, and there's always something that we learn. We're not experts in all of the fields. We can't possibly be experts in every area or field, which is why we're in networks, right? But what we're going to talk about today is the, first of all, let's talk about what do we need to know? Why should we go and talk to someone in HR before we start hiring staff? What do we need to know?
So look, I think on that side, it's around having a strategy in place. And when I say the word strategy, it doesn't need to be anything overwhelming. We work with a lot of small to medium-sized businesses, so we understand that keeping things practical is really important. And I think just on that note, it is really important to go and seek some form of advice from somewhere when you are looking at potentially starting a business or even scaling your business or changing your business structure. And that's because there's different relevant legislation that can actually it can actually be different depending on the type of legislation that you're looking at and the business structure that you fall under. So what I mean by that is, I guess as a company, or if you're set up as a PTY LTD, you would fall under the Fair Work or the federal industrial relations system, as opposed to someone like a sole trader who would fall under the WA. If they're based in WA, they would fall under the WA state legislation. So there are some differences there. And I think I deal with a lot of clients that come through that have just started their business. Maybe they're just about to take on their first staff member. Maybe they have one or two staff already in place. And a lot of the time when we go in and we're helping them, they're usually asking for maybe contracts or some advice around, hey, I'd like to shift my casual employee over to full-time, for example. When we actually have a conversation with that business owner and actually look at some of those things a lot more deeply, for example, maybe they haven't actually realized that they what system they're actually operating in, which happens quite frequently. And I guess the risks and that come with that is that your different legislation pieces are going to have different award structures that fall underneath that. So you could essentially be underpaying your staff without even realizing that that's actually occurring. So that's probably the first thing is making sure that you understand that what legislation you fall under, what award system you fall under, and what you're benchmarking your pay rates from. A lot of people will have conversations a lot of the time with clients, and they might say to me, oh, well, we've just agreed on $35 an hour, for example. And whilst that's great, there's obviously an element of compliance, and there is always usually an award that you have to benchmark those pay rates from. So we go back and we help them and we hold their hand through that process, and we then go and we do the award grading for them and the position grading. And yeah, usually we obviously then give that feedback back to them and then and go from there. The second thing is, I think, really important is that you have a strategy around your workforce plan. So you've got a business or you're starting a business. What is exactly do you need within that business? The reason that's so important is I think when we're starting our businesses, we're so eager and excited to, to do well and to succeed. And we get to the point where all of a sudden we need help. So that might look like outsourcing. It could look like putting on a new staff member. And usually it's an amount of we just need to get a bum on a seat. So taking the time to actually look at what that role looks like, and then trying to, when you're actually recruiting, sort of identifying exactly what that role requirement looks like. What type of person, and skills and attributes do you want within that role? It just saves a lot of headaches down the track for you, as a business owner. And that can be seen all the way through the recruitment process. For an example, if you don't know what you're looking for in that hiring process, you're going to be going out and you're essentially casting, you're casting a net to see what you get back. If you're really unclear around the role, the requirements, what they're going to be doing within those daily tasks and what they're going to be responsible for, then it's going to make it a lot more difficult to find that right hire or that right person to fit that role. So that's predominantly what we see, I guess, on the recruitment side. And then what happens is in some instances they come on board, they might stay a little, for a small period of time, but it's all around as well. We're wanting to make sure we set you up for success so that you've got the attraction piece there, and that you're retaining these individuals when they come into your organization and your business, and they're not just staying for a few weeks, or perhaps maybe they're not working out. Maybe they didn't realize that the role wasn't exactly what they thought it was going to be, so they've decided to move on. And that essentially can, cost you big in terms of having to rehire, having to re-advertise, and just having to go back to the drawing board around that role altogether. So they're probably, I guess, two of the main things that we see a lot in that space.
I think I've seen and I've made mistakes myself, in the beginning. I think you hired your first employee through Gumtree because we need someone to help, right? Now she actually turned out to be amazing, but that was a fluke. But I think, sometimes, and yeah, that's the mistake I see. It's not getting the clarity of the role, the tasks, the hours, because we're busy, we're overwhelmed, we just need somebody to help us on Monday. Right? We've got nobody to do that job on Monday. We need somebody to help us, or you need to have a day off at some point, which doesn't happen when you hire a staff anyway. But anyway, and sometimes, we can go grab an employee if you like. When really, if we had some clarity around that role, it could have been a contractor, it could have been outsourced, it could have been a VA, it could have been a temporary project thing, rather than putting someone full time on payroll and super and all the additional costs that come with an employee as well as the responsibility. So, yeah, I'm totally on board there. Even that, just getting the clarity around the role, the responsibility, the tasks, the pay rate, is just so important. Because taking on that wrong employee can really have a massive effect on a business, in the especially in the first couple of years.
Absolutely. And I
No.
think it's, that importance that is there. It's about setting up your business for success so that you have the right people that are driving your business for you. Because as we know, we all try to put on staff so that we can potentially take a step back and we can, get those processes and working for us. But essentially, if we don't have the right people or we're not putting the time aside to actually figure out what we need within the business, it's only going to make your job, twice as hard, and it's going to be extremely costly, I think, as well, because you're going to have to go back and do these things at some point. We get a lot of clients that potentially they start up their businesses. Maybe they get, maybe they've grown and scaled really quickly, and then maybe they've got, 20, 30 staff on board, and maybe they might not have anything in place at all around the HR side. So that could look like no contracts, no policy. And then what starts to happen is the more people we bring into the business, we start to find that the more workplace issues that come about. So it could be people not working out in the roles, people not the role clarity is not there, then we start what we see is a snowball effect. Then we start to see potentially performance issues that aren't being managed effectively, and then moving into that conduct space where maybe that person isn't a right fit for that organization, and then they might need some strategies in place to manage that, or to support them, or to train them more frequently. Or it could be essentially that we have to manage that process, and sometimes what that means is the individual's no longer within the company. So all of that, as you can see, that's time, it's resources, it's energy, it's money that's going into processes that have to be done from a legal compliance perspective, but aren't really serving your business. They're not serving your business in the way that they should be. They're not making your team more productive. It's just an element that we need to go through so that we can obviously potentially rehire or do what we need to do in that space. So yeah, really, really important stuff. And I think the biggest tip I can give business owners in that space is if you're just starting out, you're thinking about, I need support, what can I do? It would be just to get some facts in place and get some initial advice. Well, it's the same as going to an accountant or a bookkeeper when you're about to set up your company structure. If you're looking at putting your peop sorry, if you're looking at putting a team in place and you need to hire people or you need to get support, looking at what options suit your business. So we, for example, provide it could be like a strategy session that we have, an advice session with a potential new client, and it could mean that we just go through. They might just have a heap of questions that they want to ask. It could be, what's the difference between casual and what's the difference between full-time and part-time? Would it be best to put a contractor in place, or would it be, can I outsource this to a consultant? Looking at all of those options and making sure it's one financially viable. Because yes, you're right, there's all of the other things that come with that around, leave accruals and having to pay payroll tax and workers' compensation, etc. So yeah, that would be my biggest tip, is just get some initial advice, find out what works for you and what's right for you, and just to get that initial understanding, that will just help people immensely when they're moving into that space. And it'll just build your confidence, I think, as well around making those decisions as you scale, as businesses scale.
But that's, that's part one, and then, it's getting the team on board, making the plan, making sure you understand the legalities. But then what business owners we find ourselves in is we forget that this team needs managed and people need managed, and then that's a whole different skill set, and it's a whole different level of compliance, and it's a whole different level of looking at yourself as a leader, a leadership versus management. So it's like another stage of growing and development for the business owner. Now, you did mention just a wee bit there, within that segment around, managing performance, and some of the stuff comes up. So what do we need to know regarding managing team and issues, people issues, what can you tell us there, Kayla?
So I think initially, I guess the first thing is that the legislative landscape and the employment law landscape is just constantly changing. So in some way, shape, or form, business owners need to make sure that they're prepared for that and that they understand what that looks like. Whether that's, yes, we do have someone that helps with our outsourced HR, or whether you're doing it yourself, you need to make that commitment to make sure that you understand when those legislation changes happen, because there are obligations on you, as a business owner. Doesn't matter whether you have one staff or you have thousands of staff, obligations are still there. They're not going away. And I think, educating business owners around those obligations is really important to us as well, just so that we don't want to, at the end of the day, no one wants to see their clients in a space where they're getting penalties or they're getting audited by Fair Work. It's not just costly and timely in terms of resources, but it can be re like it can have a huge reputational damage as well. You've probably seen some of the stuff that might come out, case law and things like that that you might see. And it's not great to be in that situation because it does pose a reputational risk as well. And I think when you're looking at growing your team, the first thing that you should be looking at is, this is why role structure and looking at role clarity is really important. If we're going to bring other roles within this, we need to understand how they're going to interact with each other. So that could be, perhaps you have a manager or a supervisor, and then you need to potentially, you might have other staff that might fall within that category, and then you have a manager or supervisor looking over them. And the first thing that I always say to clients is, rather than looking at, okay, what do we actually need, and let's just recruit and get someone in there, if we're going to be looking at potentially someone might already be in that role internally, maybe they haven't had people reporting to them before. Have we actually got supports in place for that person or that manager or that leader in the business to actually do their job? Have they had people reporting to them before? Have they got the skill set, and have they got, I guess, those elements of that role that we need to actually bring on team underneath them? And I see this time and time again, whether you're in corporate or whether you're in a small or medium-sized business, it happens at both ends. You'll usually get people that come in, and for example, it happens a lot in the trade space. Let's say you have a plumber that's working. He gets promoted to a leading hand, and then all of a sudden, later on down the track, he might be a supervisor, and then he's responsible now for a group of 10 people. What happens is, along that way in his transition, although he might be receiving, a new role requirement, and he might be receiving more money for taking on those duties, has he actually been equipped with the leadership skills to manage that team? And we see this time and time again. If you don't have career progression pathways in place, or even something simple in place to make sure that he's now being able to coach and lead that team, that can cause some major disruption and issues when you start to bring new people on board. So that's, I think, the first thing. And the second thing is, when you're bringing on new people, I guess one of the tips that I always say is really underutilized is using your probationary periods. What I find with a lot of businesses is that we bring these individuals on, and we get so caught up in the day-to-day that we forget to actually sit down and check in. How are they going? Provide that feedback. Feedback is so important, and the communication piece is so important when that individual starts within that company. That onboarding process is crucial. So, making sure that you're having those check-ins, you're giving feedback around potentially what is working well, what isn't working well, and using that probationary period, I guess, to the best of its ability. What we find is a lot of organizations will bring people on board, and perhaps they don't have a very robust onboarding process, and feedback gets forgotten about. There's no communication, there's lack of role clarity. And then essentially, what happens is someone's not performing to some degree, and then maybe 3 months in, we have to have a conversation with them. So you can see, I guess, just by me in the conversations we've already had around how role clarity and having those conversations really early on can impact, I guess, when someone starts new in a business. It is really essential. So using those probationary periods the best that you possibly can. It's also a great way if you've given an individual as much support as you possibly can, you're giving feedback, you're doing all the right things, and it's not a leadership issue, it's potentially a skill set issue or a performance issue with the hire, then I think when we've thrown everything that we possibly can around training and education and trying to make that work, we then need to look at potentially what strategies do we put in place if it's not working. And that's where the probationary period becomes really critical and important, because we can essentially, it's a lower, not nothing is without risks, but it's a lower risk profile for a business owner if there's a genuine reason around performance or conduct to have to manage that person out of the business, then there is essentially, I guess, a lesser risk in that probationary period to do that. So that would be probably the other tip that I would give in that space is just, yeah, making sure you've got those processes in place and definitely having those conversations early.
I think well, we've answered two main points there, Kayla, but there's so much stuff in there, right? There's so much many components in there. And if you are a business owner, you're either just starting out or you've hired one or two staff, listen to this several times. Listen to all the nuggets that are in there around policies, procedures, check-ins, probation period, role clarity, leadership, management, compliance, legal, all those things are in there. And which just really demonstrates why we can't be the experts in all the areas, right? HR is such a big component in your business, and your staff or your team are your biggest outgoing. They're the biggest expense to the business. So we really have to invest and make sure that we get the right people on the right seats, and the boss.
Absolutely.
So Kayla, just to wrap up all there, you said there was two tips there. One was, get that strategy meeting before you start, understand the legalities, understand the role clarity, know that, is it a contract I need? Is it part-time? Is it this? Is it that? Know what you need at the start. And then if you could take that tip around everything you said there around managing people, performance, check-ins, probationary period, what is the one tip you would give people around that whole section? I know it's hard, but just if you could.
I was going to say, I was thinking about this actually the other day with another client. And the biggest tip that I can give around, so if it's conduct, if it's obviously if it's conduct or performance, which essentially conduct does fall in the performance category, the biggest tip that I can give business owners is, look, we all hate having difficult conversations, but if difficult conversations happen early, an intervention happens early. From a preventative perspective, it's all around communication. Every single time that I go and have a conversation with a client, normally the first thing I ask is, have we had a conversation around this so far? And it's usually no. So it's all around communication. And we're complex beings, we're humans. But essentially, if we communicate and we communicate well and we communicate early, we can prevent bigger issues from happening. And I think that would be the biggest takeaway that I could give any person. I know a lot of my clients that I have, they don't want to have these conversations. And I suppose with what I do and how I operate, I'm also very big on empowerment and building confidence with my clients so that when they've had the conversation a couple of times, when they do get into that situation again, they actually feel a lot more confident to have that difficult conversation early on. So it is all around communication.
Kayla, thank you very much for taking the time to share your wisdom today. I'm just glad we've got experts like yourself around in the network who we can go to for help. How do people contact you, Kayla?
So, look, you can reach out over any of you can reach out over our Facebook page, Instagram page. You can reach us through the District 32 app as well if you need to. But yeah, essentially we're so the business name's HR Department Northern Suburbs Perth. So we're on most of the social media platforms. But yeah, thank you so much for having me, and it's been my pleasure.
No, that's great. And we'll just put those links down below in the YouTube click so that people can contact you, people can reach out to you. But thank you for sharing that with us today. I'm sure you're gonna save somebody.
Look,
So,
that's what it's
Kayla.
all about at the end of the day, when we can come into a business and make a huge difference. In a sense, essentially, it might even just be taking that pressure away and building their confidence so that they can have that conversation with that staff member. That's all I can ask for, and that's the reason I do what I do.
Kayla, thank you very much. I'll
Thank
see
you
you. I'll
so much
see
for having
you.
me.
Thank you.